We're going to look at two scriptures today, both Psalms, both sort of dealing with the same topic. And I want you to, maybe you can use the ribbon that Carol makes. We're going to look at Psalm 126, which is our psalm that we read. We're going to also look a bit at Psalm 27. So if you'll find Psalm 27 and Psalm 126, and let us pray together, and we will look at the Word. Thank you, O Lord, for Jesus Christ. Everything we do is in reference to that. There are lots of wonderful things as a congregation we're about. But God forbid we are ever about anything that doesn't have its beginning and end, the start and finish, in saying thank you to the one who loved us more than life. It's all about Jesus Christ. Now, may we hear scriptures that your Son said spoke of him, and may the Holy Spirit that gave illumination to those two disciples walking on the Emmaus Road also illuminate our minds and understanding, that we also could see. And in doing that, we will have joy. In Christ's name, amen. We all love sunshine, right? It's a beautiful day, isn't it? We love sunshine. We like warmth and brightness. We sometimes probably would think it would be nice to have a life where there's no rain, and no clouds, and no storms, no darkness at all. The truth of the matter, and some of us have lived, and I did for a while, in an area where it was sunshine all the time. And even if you would have sunshine all the time, you find out in a while it becomes dry and barren and lifeless. We call them deserts. And the truth of the matter is, our life, Christ's life, it has both. It has rain and sunshine. It has light and darkness. And what our faith calls us to do is to have a stability of joy that whether we're in the sunshine or the rain, the light or the darkness, we sing. The psalmist is probably the epitome of one who knew dark paths and melodious praise. And I just want to look very simply between these two at four truths. That's just life. And the first thing is times get dark. Times get dark. In Psalm 126, the Israelites had just come out of exile. For 50 years, they were in a state of political humiliation. For 50 years, some think we maybe have a tough time, depending on what time you pull that out. But in our system, we always know, come 4 years, we can, as one guy said, vote the bums out. Come 8 years, we can make a change. But for 50 years, it had been dark in Israel. The focus of this season is an unwed teenager who's pregnant, and she's in a foreign country. She has no resources. It was dark for Mary. For you and I, it's dark. If you look in Psalm 27, we find often that our lives seem to be like verse 2 and 3. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. It's dark. Times get dark. I heard one preacher say one time, and he was exactly right, and see if it's true for you. You are either in difficulty right now, you're either in a dark, tough situation, or you just came out of a dark, tough situation, or you're getting ready to go into a dark, tough situation. Job said, life of man is short, full of trouble. Times get dark. But in the midst of that, the second truth is we look for light. We look for light. The book of Ecclesiastes said, God created us with eternity in our hearts. We know we were not made for darkness. We know that we are drawn to the light. We are made to return. We are made in the image of God, and God is the God of light. We long for light even in the midst of darkness. I love light in worship. And I love the candles. I love the fact that we will get back to an acolyte. And I appreciate Thomas and other the youth that will be helping us with that. It's about the light, as we read in John 1. We understand that all light is symbolic and reflective of the true light that is in Jesus Christ. You may notice, if you are astutely looking at the altar, did you see anything other than the Advent candle different this Sunday?
No globes around the candles.
There are no globes around the candles. You know why? Because they're different candlesticks. We have the new candle hold stands, lamp stands. They are brass and heavy. And I'm told if you touch them, make sure you put gloves on before you do. Or your fingerprints will be all over this brass. But we like light. It's a reminder that even in the darkness, we want light. And that's a prayer of Psalm 126. We'll look at that. In Psalm 126, it's a prayer. It's a prayer that basically has two petitions, two requests the psalmist makes, wanting light. The first one, he says, the first petition is verses 1 through 3. And basically he's saying, remember, O God. You remember when you restored in the past our fortunes? We had abundance. And when it says, we were like those who dream, it basically means you gave us better than we could have ever dreamt. It was beyond our wildest dreams. Like Paul says in Ephesians 3, God does far more abundantly than we can even imagine. And so in the psalm, he's longing for light because he remembered God did it before. We're full of laughter, he said. We remember when you restored us and our mouth was filled with laughter. And it's a passive word here in the Hebrew. It isn't that we're trying to muster up laughter. We just couldn't help ourselves. Have you ever gotten the giggles? You ever gotten the giggles in church? Have you ever gotten the giggles in a really bad place and you wanted to stop laughing and you couldn't? That's what it's saying here in Hebrew. We are so delighted. We're not having to fake a laughter. You ever been told a joke and you sort of, to be polite, fake a laugh? And of course you have. And I can tell you who you've done it around probably. But this is more of a spontaneous giggling because we're overwhelmed with what you've done in the past, Lord. And it led in verse 2 to shouts of joy. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. That giggling just led, and that phrase is used 3 times in this psalm, to just an explosion of joy. It was so much that others noticed. Verse 3, we see the end of verse 2 and verse 3. Others noticed. Our joy was so spontaneous and contagious that others around us knew that we had it. And we rejoice, it says in verse 3. So the first part of this petition for light is, Lord, I remember when you did it before. It was good. Like Paul and Silas, music is often a part of that. You know the song, you know the picture of Paul and Silas singing at midnight in prison. They were not alone in prison. There were others in prison, we read. There were others that were there that weren't as happy. Paul and Silas should not have been happy. They were sitting in the dark after their backs had been bloodied by being whipped near death, And then their exposed backs that had been whipped near death were chained to the prison wall. And not so much because they were forcing themselves to, but just because the joy is inexpressible, they started singing. And others noticed. It's nice to remember, but it's not enough. And this psalm, this call and desire for light, is not just about remembering. Do you ever get in a place where you think, whether for yourself or for your church or for your family or for this nation, do you ever get into a place where you think the best days were behind you? That your best time was backwards? I don't have time to talk about it, but I could argue and I could tell you that if you're in a place like that, it's a really depressing place to be. And the psalmist doesn't leave us there. And joy doesn't leave us there because it's not remembering for nostalgia's sake. It's remembering to fuel the second petition. It's not just remembering about the good old days and a sense of regret that why couldn't we be like it used to be? We used to have leeks and onions and we used to be back here. It's not a nostalgia that leads to depression. It's a remembering that leads to the second petition, which is restore us, O God. It's a remembering that says if you did it once, guess what you can do again, God? You can do it again. Lord, we know you did it before. Now look at what he says in verse 4. Now restore our fortunes, O Lord. Let it overflow again like the streams of the Negev. Even though we're tearing now, I know you can do it again. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, wherever you are on that cycle, whether you're right now in the midst of something very painful and hurtful, look back in your mind to God's faithfulness in the past. And hold on to the promise that Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Music helps us be strengthened, doesn't it? Music helps us remember. Let me just ask, how many here, as you look back, God has ever let you down? Most of us, if we took the time, we could stand and bear testimony over and over and over again how we faced an insurmountable time. A job loss, a health situation, a family disruption. And we thought it was so dark we would never see light again. And we remember. And in case our memories get faint, we have each other to remind us. We have music to remind us. And we have the Lord's table. For there was never a more dark time than when Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? But light came out of that. And that's the third truth. We remember and we pray that we'll be restored again. And the confidence is the third truth, light shall come. Psalm 126 tells us that it's not any room for equivocation here. If you sow the seeds of sorrow, you shall, verse 6, you shall come. Not will, maybe, you shall come home. If you sow the seeds of sorrow, you will end up with shouts of joy. It shall happen. Light will come. We are absolutely confident, as the psalmist says in another psalm, that weeping does endure through the night, doesn't it? But what are we absolutely confident for about? That joy comes in the morning. The rub is we don't know how long the morning will be. That's the tough part, isn't it, if we're honest? We know it's coming. But in the midst of the darkness, our joy comes from songs and others that remind us that the morning is coming. You can hold on. Sometimes as a pastor that gets in counseling situations with people in very difficult situations, sometimes the only thing is I can say is, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. There's no easy 6-point, 5 steps, and 4 nifty things you can do to get out of it. But here's what I can guarantee you. It will not stay the same. It will not stay the same. Joy comes in the morning. Light comes. They had looked for so long for Jesus Christ to come. In a lot of people's thoughts, Jesus came late. But the Word tells us that He came at the exact right time. If we look back on our life, God's always taken care of us. But if I then would ask you, how many of you God responded on your time schedule? But light will come. It's interesting that the only Christian hymn we have, you know, the songs are hymns. We've got Old Testament songs, but we only have one hymn that's Christian, that's a New Testament hymn. And it's interesting that the one hymn we have, it's in Ephesians 5:14, combines darkness and coming light. In Ephesians 5:14, a Christian hymn of the day is quoted by Paul, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." To me, it's instructive that singing is connected to the hope in the middle of darkness that light is coming. Have any of you ever heard a sermon that made you cry? Larry told me last week's one almost made him cry because it went so long. I got two people mad at me now. I'm humbled at funerals because, you know, I prepare what I want to say, and I can honestly say I try to do a job of authenticity. I try to make it personal to the individual. I try to say something of comfort and strength and grace. I try to say something that would be personal to the individual but always lift up Jesus Christ. I really work hard and prayerfully try to craft a sermon that I'm going to do at a funeral. And I've done tons of funerals. I did 2 this weekend. But you know what humbles me? Is I know I can say and do anything I want to in the sermon. But you know when the tears really flow in sermons? When the music is played. And I understand that music has this way of expressing joy. And sometimes it brings tears, but in the midst of the tears, we hold on because we know we're crying now, but joy is coming. Light is coming. And then the fourth truth is when the light comes, then we will sing. Then we will sing even louder. Look in verse 5. We're back at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, we just read earlier about these difficult times, enemies surrounding them, evildoers assailing them. Verse 4 of Psalm 27, as Psalm 126, is a petition that the Lord would show and we could see the beauty again. And then verse 5, "For He will hide me in the shelter, in His shelter, in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the covers of His tent." And I don't have time, but you know that that's making reference to the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. He will conceal me under Jesus. He will lift me high upon that rock. In verse 6, "And now, at that point, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices and shouts of joy, and I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Paul in Ephesians 5 says that it's not a good idea to spend your time getting drunk with wine. He says you ought not do that. Now, if you've ever experienced, I know through movies it would be, or from someone else, you wouldn't have personal experience, but if you've ever been in a situation where the wine is flowing freely, and maybe too freely, or in a German situation, if you've ever been in a beer garden where the beer is flowing freely, or the wine, sometimes in those situations, people become so under the influence that even though all the world may be going to pot around them, for that moment that they're under the influence,
They're going to sing without a care, aren't they?
Paul goes on to say, don't be drunk with wine, which is incest, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your heart will be overflowing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when we're under the influence of the Spirit, we will sing, even if all the world is dark. There was a movie that some of you saw in 1952. It was a good one too, wasn't it, Glenda? With Gene Kelly, Deborah Reynolds. It was called Singing in the Rain. That's not hard to do. I love the rain. I love to walk in the rain. I love the rain. Brothers and sisters, what the joy of the Lord gives us is we can sing in the darkness because we know the light is coming. Amen. We follow Jesus Christ. He's not only the way that provided atonement for our sins, but he's the way in which we are to live before the Lord. He demonstrated to us and to his original disciples that in the darkest hour, we find our only strength and hope and joy in praising the Lord. For on the darkest night possible, a night in which he would be betrayed in a few hours, he gave this to his disciples as he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup that was symbolic of the fact that he was going to bleed and it would be dark. And he said, this is my blood, the cup of the New Testament, shed for you for the full remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. And as we partake of the body and blood of Christ, we partake of Jesus Christ. This is his body and blood. We partake of him. And as he did, so we are strengthened to have joy in the midst of the darkness. For we read in the New Testament that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured death upon a cross. And so we too are strengthened and reminded by receiving the body and blood that whatever we're going through pales and insignificant to the glory we're going to. Light shall come. Lord, we ask now that your blessings would be upon this, your body and blood. As we receive you given to us. Thank you, O Lord, for identifying with us, not only in our strength, but thank you for identifying with humanity and weakness. Thank you for the gift of allowing the only one without sin to become full sin for us, so that we who are only sin can become righteousness in you. We receive you. We receive strength. We receive grace. May we have joy through Jesus Christ. And this we pray in his name. Amen.